get lost in you. So anyone who finds me first finds you. I wanna be one with you. Where I end, you begin and keep on going. I wanna breathe you in. So every time I breathe out, you're
Hi, I'm Mike Spaulding. Welcome to the Transforming Word radio program. I consider it a great privilege to teach God's Word to you each day. Today we will be studying in the book of 1 Timothy, where we will find many of the great doctrines of church, life, and practice spelled out. Open your Bibles and join me now for another study in the Word. My prayer is that God will transform your heart as you consider all that He speaks to you today. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 6. Chapter 6. We started into this chapter last week and made it as far as verse 6. And you'll recall that I suggested that you contemplate the meaning of godliness with contentment. What does that mean exactly? This is key to understanding the rest of what we're going to talk about today. But not only that, I think it's a key to understanding this whole concept of money that is mentioned in verse 10. And so this morning we're going to spend an extended amount of time thinking about contentment, what that means, and also the relationship of contentment with money. Now, I guess I'll just warn you right up front. Some of you are going to be upset. Some of you are going to be offended. And I make no apology for that, because this is the Word of God, and if your thinking or your behavior is in contrast to or in contradiction with the Word of God, then your fight is not with me. And so, and you know, I always give this caveat. I would not intentionally, deliberately try to offend anyone. Would not do that. Besides that, I don't need to. The Word of God is very good at doing that all by itself. Well, Mike, that's craziness. No, Jesus Himself said, I am a rock of offense. The gospel is a stumbling block. See, I think we're offending God when we try to smooth out and make culturally acceptable the message of the cross. It should shake you to your very core. And we should be in a constant state of evaluation in our spiritual walk. Where are we in our walk with the Lord? Are we living in a way that's consistent with what the Word says? Because you see, for the Christian, that is our parameter. We're free to operate and play all over God's playground. As long as we don't get outside the fence. When we get outside the fence, that's when bad stuff happens. So chapter 6 is just chock full of good information. I spent a couple of hours yesterday putting together some information on a PowerPoint. And I usually don't use PowerPoints on Sunday morning teachings. I usually reserve this for conferences and retreat teachings and things like that. But I couldn't resist it in this instance. And if you find that after the teaching this morning you'd like to have this PowerPoint, I'd be happy to send it to you. But we're going to camp out on this idea of contentment and the relationship of contentment with money. And let's pick it up in verse 5. Well, let's go back to 3. The Apostle Paul tells Timothy in verse 3 of chapter 6, if anyone advocates a different doctrine and does not agree with sound words, those of our Lord Jesus Christ, and with the doctrine conforming to godliness, he is conceited and understands nothing. Well, that's just another way of saying that you're arrogant, that you think your message is better than the message of Jesus Christ. That, I guess, that is the definition of conceit, is it not? And you really are without understanding if you think that you can present a different message than the one that Christ presented. You are without understanding. But he has a morbid interest in controversial questions and disputes about words, out of which arise envy, strife, abusive language, evil suspicions, and constant friction. Well, I think Paul is really talking specifically about the false teachers that Timothy was trying to deal with at Ephesus. I think these characteristics were manifest in the folks that Paul was dealing with. So he's not just picking things out of the air, but he's being very specific to talk about, listen, I understand what you're facing. Here's what you're seeing. And so it creates constant friction, verse 5, between men of depraved mind and deprived of the truth. Now, biblically speaking, if we say someone is depraved, we usually refer to that within the context of them being unsaved. They're still in a depraved state. They've never experienced salvation. They've not been born again, and so they're depraved. And they're deprived of the truth. Well, yeah, you can't be saved without the truth, right? Who suppose, and here's the key verse, and this is going to be our springboard then into our teaching this morning. Who suppose that godliness is a means of gain? How many of you understand that in the church universal today, that there is a large segment of individuals that see the ministry as exactly that? It's a means of great gain. And what Paul's talking about here, he's talking about financial gain. Now, I know in asking that question that we get a lot of affirmative answers. Yes, we understand that, Mike, because many of you have come out of that background. You've come from that background. And so you understand exactly what I'm going to be talking about here for the next several minutes. So these people who aren't born again, they're still depraved, deprived of the truth, who look at the ministry as a means of financial gain, in other words, for lining their pockets. Paul says in verse 6, but godliness actually is a means of great gain when accompanied by, and this is a key word, contentment. Godliness is a means of great gain when accompanied by contentment. So the question that you should be asking yourself at this point is, what is contentment? So chew on that a second. Kathy, do we have that PowerPoint ready? So I can just forward it? Hey. I love technology, especially when it works. I've done a couple of conferences when I tried to control it here from the pulpit with a laptop. Oh my, that was a disaster. If it had not been for my on-site IT department, I'd have been in big trouble. Bailed me out always. Notice, if anyone advocates a different doctrine, that's the jumping off point. We want to understand, what is contentment? And what is great gain? Well, I'm going to give you a couple of quotes here, and I'm going to back up so that I can read these and share with you. I hope that's okay. I'm not going to make anybody nervous if I come down here, am I? Okay. Don't start dancing? Is that what you said? Thank you. That's right. I was going to do my Bill Cosby imitation. I thought, nah, don't do that. Yeah. Here's a quote. Many of you know Fred Price. He's a pastor out at Crenshaw Christian Fellowship in Los Angeles. God has certain benefits attached to walking by faith. Most employers don't ask somebody to work for them for free. God is not asking you to work for him for free either. Now, I included that quote because that fits very nicely with what Paul's addressing to Timothy in this letter, verse 5. Some suppose that the ministry is a means of great gain. Well, I think that quote right there says that Pastor Price would agree with that. Here's the problem. Jesus said that if you wanted to gain eternal life, you can't allow your possessions to get in the way. Because they will. Your possessions, brothers and sisters, can keep you out of the kingdom. Do you understand that? If you love them more than you love God, that's a hindrance. And Jesus said it that way. If you wish to be complete, go sell all your possessions and give it to the poor. Because the important thing is that you have a relationship with me. And a relationship with Christ means that you have treasure in heaven. You know what, Kathy? Can you tell me what slide I'm on here? Yeah, I got way ahead. I'm going back up, guys. Is that one? Okay. Good. Here's a quote from Gordon Fee. Now, Dr. Fee is actually from a Pentecostal background. So it's interesting that he would critique this whole health, wealth, prosperity gospel this way. He says, American Christianity is rapidly becoming infected. And I would say, and this is dated, it has become infected. It's not becoming, but it has become. It's already in that state. By an insidious disease, the so-called wealth and health gospel, although it has very little of the character of the gospel in it. That's the facts. It is more, in its more brazen forms, it simply says, serve God and get rich. That's the message distilled down. Godliness is a means of great gain. It simply says, serve God and get rich. In its more respectable but pernicious forms, it builds $15 million crystal cathedrals to the glory of affluent suburban Christianity. Now, that's a very thinly veiled poke at Robert Schuller's ministry. Now, what's interesting to me is that just this week, I don't know if you heard it or not, you know, Schuller retired. And first he turned the ministry over to a son, and that didn't go well. I guess he wasn't positive enough. And then he turned it over to his daughter, and that hasn't gone well. And just this week, it was announced that they had mortgaged the Crystal Cathedral for $46 million just to pay their debt. But that on the bright side, they had a first right of refusal to buy it back at a later date. It's like, well, if you're mortgaging it now because you don't have the money, I doubt seriously if you're going to have it to buy it back later. Well, that just goes to show, it's just one example of the folly of seeing in the ministry a means of financial gain. That's not what the ministry is about. Not even close. You remember Robert Tilton? Now, I heard he's making a comeback. Yeah, as hard as that is to believe. But Robert Tilton was one of the first folks that said, hey, send in your money, and I'll send you this little swatch of prayer cloth that I've prayed over, and then good things will happen to you. Well, he said being poor is a sin when God promises prosperity. New house, new car, that's chicken feed. That's nothing compared to God wants to do for you. So being poor is a sin. Problem with that is the Bible says the Lord makes poor and rich. He brings low and exalts. God is not a cosmic vending machine, brothers and sisters. And every time I get on this subject, it reminds me, well, I'll share it later. John Osteen, now John is deceased now, but he's Joel's dad. John started out as a Southern Baptist, by the way. Some might not know that. And then in the mid to late 50s, when Oral Roberts and some of the other faith healers were becoming prominent again, really it was a resurgence or a reemergence of latter rain theology is what that was. William Branham, some of those folks, heretics all. You know, why do you say that, Mike? Well, as you get into their theology, part of their teaching was that our salvation was not won for us on the cross through Christ's death. Our salvation was won for us when Jesus went to hell and was there born again. What? They teach that? Yes, they certainly do. Most, if not all, word faith theologies and adherents teach that doctrine. That's blasphemy, brothers and sisters. Jesus needed to be born again? Your salvation was not secure at the cross? Really? But John Osteen said it's God's will for you to live in prosperity instead of poverty. It's God's will for you to pay your bills and not be in debt. It's God's will for you to live in health and not in sickness all the days of your life. Really? I think Job would argue with that. Do we not know that whole wealth and health message, by our own experience, is demonstrably false? Are we somehow living in sin because we struggle financially? I don't think so. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. We're going to think that somehow we're being shortchanged because we don't have a Mercedes sitting in our driveway? If you listen to some of those word faith teachers, that's exactly how you're supposed to feel. I'm getting ripped off. Pastor Price again. If you've got $1 faith and you ask for a $10,000 item, it ain't going to work. It won't work. Jesus said, according to your faith, not according to God's will for you. Whoa, really? Well, you know I'm going to disprove that in the next slide, right? According to your faith, not according to God's will. Really? In his own good time, if it's according to his will, if he can work it into his busy schedule, you see how he introduces a concept and then he tries to build on that by building a straw man argument? He said, according to your faith, be it done unto you. Well, so then, those who suffer according to God's will. Do you understand that sometimes your struggles are part of what God wants to do in your life? Do you understand that the situations that you encounter in life are not just happenstance always? Now, yes, I'll be the first one to say and state that I believe that sometimes things happen to you of no reason that you've done. I mean, somebody's done something, you're close to them in your life, and things happen. But in most cases, things happen in your life because of the choices that you make. And God's not going to just lift you up out of that fire that you've gotten yourself into because of the choices that you make. Sometimes God uses suffering to teach us. And for pastors to say, well, it's God's will that you never suffer, that you never struggle, that you never have any financial difficulties, that's flat out lies. That is heresy, brothers and sisters. And as I'm fond of saying, straight out of the pits of hell and smells like smoke. I stole that from Steve Brown, by the way, in case I didn't mention that before. Jesus said, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. See, you don't need $10,000 faith. You need penny faith. So again, Pastor Price is wrong when he says, well, if you just have dollar faith, you can't get $10,000. What are you talking about? It isn't about the amount of faith that we have. What's important here is to understand the object in whom you place your faith. For he is able, you see. It's not about us. All it takes is that much. Gloria Copeland, oh, I just love her. She's a jewel. In her book, God's Will is Prosperity. Give $10 and receive $1,000. Give $1,000 and receive $100,000. Give one house and receive 100 houses. Just an unscientific survey. Anybody out here know for a fact that this has happened to somebody? That they've given a house to a ministry and all of a sudden they get 100 houses back? Okay, I didn't think so. I guess that would be hyperbole. Give one house and receive 100 houses, or a house worth 100 times as much. Give one airplane and receive 100. Listen, I don't run with people that have airplanes. And what would you do with 100 airplanes anyway? You going to start your own air force or what? And receive 100 times the value of the airplane. In short, Mark 10:30 is a very good deal. Listen, I've already done the exegesis on 10:30, and she is so far off base, it isn't even funny. She's not even in the ballpark understanding 10:30. So, give 100 houses, airplanes, you know, all this kind of stuff. Jesus said, and everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother will receive many times as much, but notice when and where. In heaven. You see, one of the mistakes of the word faith, health, wealth, prosperity gospels is that they've taken the scriptures and they've interpreted it to mean we're going to have it now. Because after all, we're the king's kids. And God's created all this as our playground. Really? That's what they act like. It's false theology, brothers and sisters. It's false teaching, false doctrine. You will inherit it in heaven. Again, Peter said to him, behold, we've left everything and followed you. What then is there for us? Jesus said to them, truly I say to you that if you have followed me in the regeneration, what is that? When the Son of Man will sit on his glorious throne, you also, he's talking about the millennial kingdom, heaven. That's when we enjoy our treasures, brothers and sisters. Here's a quote from Joel. Not the book of Joel, Joel Osteen. I believe one of the main ways that we grow in favor is by declaring it. So this is positive confession. And some of you are well acquainted with positive confession. So one of the ways we grow in favor is by declaring it. It's not enough to just read it. It's not enough to just believe it. You've got to speak it out. See, the reason that they say that, I'll give you the resources if you'd like. One of the best is D.R. McConnell, A Different Gospel.
I want to get lost in you, so anyone who finds me first finds you.
That's all we have time for today on the Transforming Word radio program. I hope today's study encouraged you to study the Bible for yourself.
Remember, friends, faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the Word of Christ. The Transforming Word radio program is an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel of Lima. Our service times are Sundays at 10:30 a.m. and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. We meet at 682 West Grand Avenue in Lima. You may join all of our services live through our internet broadcast at www.cclohio.org. Click Watch Us Live and be a part of our internet family. For more information about the Transforming Word radio ministry, write us at the Transforming Word, 682 West Grand Avenue, Lima, Ohio, 45801. When you write, please mention the call letters of this station. You may also contact me directly by email at the following address, pastormike@cclohio.org. Join us again tomorrow for another great study in the Bible. God bless you today as you seek Him.